What is the daily schedule like? Yeah. Well, the morning bell would go at 3 o'clock, and I remember when I first showed up as a straggly hippie off the beach, and Joseph was the abbot at Wat Nanachat, and he said, "Well, we get up at three." I thought, "Well, they must have some kind of different clock here." But no, it's the regular system. So the morning bell goes at 3, and then meet for the morning chanting either at 3:30 or 4, depending on the monastery. You would then have a period of morning chanting and the group meditation, silent sitting meditation. And then a lot hinges around the morning alms round, the way that the sustenance for the monastery is gathered for the day. So as dawn breaks, then we would have a little bit of a tidy up period, sweeping and cleaning. And then as dawn breaks, we would put our robes on and then go out into the local villages for the alms round. And those of you who will stay for this evening for our movie night, you'll see numerous pieces of film of the alms round going through the villages of northeast Thailand, and also the villages of West Sussex in southern England, which is a sight to be seen. Also, actually, we now in most of our monasteries in the West, we regularly go alms round. Even in Mendocino County in Ukiah, we go once a week on the daily alms. We go once a week rather than daily, but. The weather is very hot in Thailand, so you'd aim to be back from the alms round by 7 in the morning. People get up early because of trying to use the cool hours of the morning, so that when you walk through the villages just after dawn, already people are up and have cooked the rice, and those who wish to support the monasteries are out on the street and are ready to make their offerings to the monks walking by. So this is a very beautiful and ancient custom. It's from the time of the Buddha. Again, when I first went, Joseph took me out on an alms round in the first couple of days of being at Wat Nanachat. I thought, wow, this is amazing. This is this wonderful ancient ceremony. It can only happen like once a year. Such a special and extraordinary thing. All these people waiting out on the streets so early in the day. And what luck, what fortune. And then I was, in my kind of effusive way, saying this to him as we were walking back to the monastery. He said, no, this happens every day. It's been happening every day for 2,500 years. This is nothing special. So then we'd have the morning meal. The morning meal and the only meal of the day would then be quite early. Get back, and then all the food would be shared out between the members of the community. Equally, so you would give up whatever you've been given on the alms round. Usually a number of the villagers, mostly the village women, would come in and prepare food and to be added to what you got on the alms round. And the meal would be offered usually around 8 or 8:30, and that's the one meal of the day. And so you stoke up in the morning and then just run on it for the rest of the day. So then the meal is a fairly formal time. As again you'll see in the films this evening, everything is, we sit in very orderly fashion according to the order of reigns, how old we are in the monastic order. We eat silently, and then after the things have been cleared out, everyone helps with tidying things up, putting things away, and then the rest of the day is, in Ajahn Chah's monastery you'd have generally open time until 3 in the afternoon, when there would be the communal chores, so that you could, your encouragement was to go back to your cabin, your kuti, and do walking meditation, sitting meditation, and then at 3 you'd gather to haul water, because there were no mains water. You know, the water's in the ground, you dig a hole, you put it in a bucket, you pull it out, and then carrying the water around, because there's no gravity feed or pipelines around the monasteries in the early days. So you carry the water to all the places around the monasteries that needed water, like toilets and kitchen and so on, bathing places. So that was a lot of the daily work, was then hauling water, carrying the water, and then also sweeping the leaves, because being in the forest, you know, even as you swept the ground, the leaves would continue to fall. So then you'd haul the water, do leaf sweeping, clearing the paths. And all of these things, there's a particular ways that you do it and particular ways you don't do it. And so one of the main elements of our teaching and training, as Ajahn Pasana was saying, was like just coordinating our bodies with the daily tasks and learning how to do things without immolating ourselves or causing some kind of gross faux pas, you know, by the way that we did something or kind of breaking some sort of social etiquette that we weren't aware of. And so then after having got hot and sweaty doing all the work, then you'd bathe, and that would just be bathing from a large water jar, just standing on a little sort of brick pad outside. And then in the evening, we would usually gather for the evening chanting. Sometimes there'd be meditation first, and then the chanting, it could vary the order. But everyone would gather, and you'd have the evening chanting, and then meditation. And oftentimes Ajahn Chah, whoever was the elder, would be giving a Dharma talk. A lot of the instruction, sort of day-to-day instruction or kind of hands-on instruction, would be given in the informal times. As was described by before, like going to find Ajahn Chah, going sitting around and listening to him, being with him, being his attendant was always a much sought-after job. So a lot of the instruction is kind of in informal situations. The Dharma talks from the high seat would be more kind of generalized and more for useful for everyone. Going through the particular details of your own questions and doubts and interests would happen in more informal times. Often, after the evening session, if the Dharma talk hadn't been 3 or 4 hours long, or even if it had, sometimes people would linger around afterwards and go and follow Ajahn Chah back to his kuti, and he would be happy to stay up. I mean, he had this most amazing disrespect for time. You know, like Ajahn Sumedho was saying, it's late, kind of, what's the time? We're getting late. It's like, he had no concept of late. Day or night, you know, if there was interest and there was, people wanted to hear the Dhamma and there was an interesting and engaging dialogue going on, he'd just stay with it. It was not uncommon for him to be still talking to people at 1, 2, 3 in the morning. Sometimes you'd be at his kuti with him and you'd hear the 3 o'clock bell going. And then you'd just say, okay, time to go morning chanting.